We should, like, go and, like, hang out with Todd.
Whoa. It's Todd.
Yeah.
Whoa. Todd's even cooler than we thought.
Boys, I'm looking for a fella who goes by the name of Todd.
Oh, yeah. He's cool.
Todd would make, like, a good manager or something.
Todd roll.
Welcome to another episode of the 206 Geek Podcast with your host Todd, the 206 Geek.
Yes, I am Todd, your host, and this is the 206 Geek. And today I decided to go ahead and just record straight from my phone on the Anchor FM app. And so this is probably going to sound different. So I decided, you know what? It's only been a couple days since I recorded the last episode, but I want to record something. So I figured I would go ahead and open the Feedly list and see what is on there. We have, looks like the Obi-Wan series on Disney Plus has got a new writer, so I'll be talking about that. And what else is going on in here? Looks like Disney Plus has also added some X-Men profile avatars for your Disney Plus profile pic. I have mine right now set as Todd from The Fox and the Hound. Although I might go in there and change it to one of the X-Men, who knows? And let's see here. So we'll talk about that. Let me open that story in a tab. Looks like a lot of sources are talking about the new writer for Obi-Wan Kenobi series. Oh man. Let's see here. We got with all the craziness happening right now with the COVID-19. Oh man. We'll talk about a voice actress by the name of Julie Bennett has passed from COVID-19 complications, so I'll talk about that. That sucks. Let's see here. Trying to find something else to talk about. A lot of repeat stories from different websites. Suppose I could talk about the delay of Ghostbusters Afterlife. Let me see if I can find a story about that. I know I shared something about it recently. That was like the one movie I was looking forward to seeing this year, and it got postponed because of this virus outbreak. I don't know about you guys, but of all the things that's going on, that's the one thing that's got me upset. You know, it seems like a first world problem, really. I shouldn't be that upset over a movie being delayed a whole 12 months. I, you know, I want people to be safe. I don't want people to do something that's gonna make them vulnerable to the to what's going on. And so I'm grateful that they're keeping people safe, but I'm sad at the same time because the one movie this year I was really looking forward to seeing is being postponed a whole year. So, trying to find that story now. Of course, everything is moving slow. Because, you know. Yeah. Let's see. Come on. Load up. Thank you. Scroll down. Anyways, I'll talk about th well, basically, it's just that. It's just that it's being postponed a year. I don't know. I can't seem to find the damn story because it's been buried under all the other stuff that I've been sharing lately. What else? Top Gun Maverick is being delayed due to the coronavirus. I mean, just like everything else, honestly, all the movies and TV shows are being paused or postponed or entirely canceled. Actually, I don't know if shows have been canceled because of it. I know that a lot of them are being postponed. New episodes. Hopefully, it doesn't come down to shows being canceled all completely, you know? Let's see here. I still have yet to watch, and I probably won't watch the Tiger King just because I don't know, there's nothing about it that looks interesting from the clips I've seen online to like the insanely funny memes that have been going on because of it. I'm kind of curious, but at the same time, I really don't care. So, well, I suppose I could talk about the upcoming debut of Stargirl. That looks like it's gonna be good. Let's see. Oh, here's something. Shazam director David F. Sandberg reveals hidden Seth Green cameo. I'll talk about that. I think that's good for now for stories. Let's start with Obi-Wan Kenobi. All right, so this was posted on the Nerdist.com, or Nerdist.com rather. It says, earlier this year, the prospect of Disney Plus standalone Obi-Wan Kenobi series met with serious doubt. In January, we heard rumors the show had been canceled entirely. A follow-up story reported that it would be delayed indefinitely. After Lucasfilm president Kathleen Kennedy has apparently wasn't was a, apparently unhappy with the scripts, Disney ultimately pushed back the production of the summer of 2020 to early 2021. But star Ewan McGregor reported script problems, bullshit. He's seen about 90% of the writing and described it as really good, but it's clear that not everyone felt the same way, as now we hear that the new writer has been hired to for the project. Variety reports that Disney has tapped John Wick 3 and Edge of Tomorrow executive producer John Harold as series writer. Well, that's cool. I have yet to actually see John Wick 3. Maybe that's something I'll do today. I'll watch that. But I've seen Edge of Tomorrow, the Live, Die, Repeat movie with Tom Cruise. Yeah, no, that's cool. I don't know. It's good to hear that the show isn't done, that they are moving forward with it. It's just been slow going. Okay. Well, there's more to the story here, but that's pretty much the gist of it, I think. If you want to read the rest of it, I'll share the link and you guys can see it for yourself. All right, so the other thing I mentioned was the X-Men profile pics for Disney Plus. Now that's pretty cool. I mean, I'm not surprised. They have all the different X-Men cartoon series available on Disney Plus. I've been watching the 90s X-Men series. I think I binge watched the entirety of X-Men Evolution, and then I think Wolverine and the X-Men was another one that I watched. I need to go back and finish watching that, or rewatch it, because I don't remember watching much of it. But no, it's cool. These are not like screenshots or anything from the cartoons or anything, but these look like they're like original drawings of the individual characters. We have, of course, Professor X, Magneto, Cyclops, Wolverine, Rogue, Storm, Beast, Gambit, Jubilee, and Jean Grey. That's cool. So if you're a mutant lover, or you just like the X-Men in general, you can have your profile pic set as one of those characters. That's cool. That's really cool. And on to the next story here. Well, this one's kind of sad. You know what? I have to look. Julie Bennett, the voice of Yogi Bear show, dies from COVID-19 complications. That's what the title of this thing says. Today, the voiceover community is mourning the loss of one of its own. A report by Deadline has confirmed that Julie Bennett, the longtime voice of Cindy Bear from the Yogi Bear cartoons, has died at 88 due to complications from COVID-19. Oh, this is like the original actress. Oh, wow. According to the report, Bennett died on March 31st after contracting COVID-19. The actress' death was announced by Mark Scroggs, a friend and talent agent who knew her very well. It goes on to saying here, born in January 1932, Bennett was raised in New York before moving to Los Angeles at a young age. She attended school at Beverly Hills before returning to New York to pursue her career in entertainment. Her gigs on TV dramas and radio shows led Bennett to doing voiceover work. Decades ago, Bennett got her first work in voice acting when she began doing voiceovers for Fractured Fairy Tales on The Rock, The Rocky and Bullwinkle Show. It says The Rock and Bullwinkle Show, but that's clearly a typo because it's The Rocky and Bullwinkle Show. It was afterwards Bennett was cast as the Yogi on the Yogi Bear show to play Cindy, Yogi's girlfriend. Over the years, Bennett went on to reprise her role as Cindy time and time again. She also joined multiple Hanna-Barbera projects, as well as Looney Tunes, Mr. Magoo, Spider-Man, the animated series, and more. She's also made appearances in live-action projects like Dragnet, The Tonight Show, Gunsmoke, and more. In the 1990s, Bennett left voiceover work behind to pursue entertainment management, and she represented numerous clients during her career. Bennett is survived by several close friends, including Scroggs. Our thoughts are with the star's loved ones during this difficult time. Definitely. Wow. That's really sad. That's really sad. Okay, so now we have Stripe, or STRIPE, makes his first appearance in new Stargirl trailer. I don't know enough about these characters to really know who that is. This is what it says here. The CW has released a brand new trailer for the upcoming Stargirl series. For the first time ever in live-action Stripe, the 15-foot robot Pat Dugan created in order to help his stepdaughter makes an appearance. The robot's full name stands for Special Tactics Robotic Integrated Power Enhancer. Okay. There's a still shot image of it. It kind of, you know what? It kind of looks like the robot from Doom Patrol or, or one of the Transformers from Transformers Prime. And I'm drawing a blank on that one's name right now. Damn it. It's the one played by Kevin Michael Richardson. Yeah, my brain is just not wanting to work with me today. Alright. This is what else it says here. Hold on. Just I'm trying to... It's still loading the damn page. Alright. Hold on. Alright, so now I finally got it to load up. Here we go. It says here, STRIPE and Stargirl have made several appearances in the Justice League Unlimited animated series and in the comics. In the comics, rather. He was the former adult sidekick to teenage superhero Sylvester Pemberton, the Star-Spangled Kid. Shortly thereafter, though, his stepdaughter became the second Star-Spangled Kid. Okay. This is cool. I mean, Bulkhead, that was the Transformers name. I don't know, maybe it's just the head. The way that the face looks is very much, it looks like the Transformers Prime Bulkhead. Or maybe it was animated, Transformers animated Bulkhead. Either way, I'm looking forward to seeing this show. I think it starts in the next week or two. Or wait, no. I thought the show was starting here in April, but I guess it doesn't premiere until Monday, May 18th. Oh, so I have another month to wait before I can see this show. All right. Alright, let's see here. Alright, the next story I wanted to talk about was Shazam director David F. Sandberg reveals the hidden cameo appearance of Seth Green. So, I've seen this movie at least a couple times, and I don't recall... I got a notification. I should probably mute my phone. Sorry about that, folks. And I don't recall seeing him. So let's see what it says here. It says here, last night, Shazam director David F. Sandberg participated in a quarantine watch party for the DC film hosted by comicbook.com. Throughout the event, Sandberg shared some insight and new information on the film, including a cameo appearance by Seth Green that it seems that everyone missed. I sure as hell did. And let's see here. As he explained, Seth Green can be seen playing someone in a group of people walking by a strip club. As it turns out, this Shazam cameo came about simply because Seth Green happened to be visiting by the set that day. Says you can check out David F. Sandberg's post on Seth Green's cameo below, and it shows a Twitter post. One of the guys walking by outside the strip club is Seth Green, who visited the set that day. Hashtag quarantine watch party, hashtag Shazam. And then someone found a screenshot. Sure enough. Yeah, that must have been a very quick walk by, and yeah, he's wearing a beanie cap and a hood, so it's probably not the easiest to notice when you're watching the movie. You're not really looking for people in the background as much as you are paying attention to the dialogue happening during the movie. That's funny. That's really funny. It's one of those things, unless you know to look for it, you would never see it. Oops, I didn't mean to. Let's see, oh, there it is. Alright, I'm going to go ahead and, the next thing I wanted to talk about, something I posted yesterday on Facebook, it looks like this year's DC television crossover will be Challenge of the Super Friends. I'm excited to hear that, because if you guys saw the Crisis on Infinite Earths crossover last year, or early this year, then you probably saw the very last episode, they decide to turn that old installation that you saw briefly in an episode in, I think, season one or two of The Flash, and they're going to turn it into the Hall of Justice. And also at the very end of that episode, we get to hear Gleek, and we see a cage that used to hold him. So I'm assuming that we're going to have a legit, like, Wonder Twins, or at the very least we'll have Gleek as a reoccurring character for next season, or later this season, or whatever. So we'll see. Well, this is what the article says anyway. At the end of DC Television Crisis on Infinite Earths crossover that aired earlier this year on the CW, a nascent Justice League or group of super friends united with the familiar theme music of the classic cartoon beginning, as we see a hint of the space monkey Gleek, which I just mentioned. Krypton's site can reveal exclusively that we have learned that the Super Friends are returning with a major tribute to the animated series of yesteryear. The next DC television crossover on the CW airing in the next TV season, whenever that might be, is already in development and is called Challenge of the Super Friends. While the Legion of Doom were a thing in DC's Legends of Tomorrow Season 2, there's a new Legion in town full of all kind of baddies. Interesting. Interesting. It goes on to saying here, the team of villains this time around will be led by Lex Luthor, played by John Cryer, and other foes throughout the history of the Arrowverse will be part of this of his squad, including Mark Hamill's The Trickster, Tom Cavanaugh's Eobard Thawne, Reverse Flash, Wentworth Miller's Captain Cold, Alessandra Tarsani's Dula Dent, Tom Amandes, the Calculator, Marvin Jones III, Tobias Whale, Italia Ricci, Silver Banshee, Thomas Lennon's Mr. Mispiglick, David Sobolov, the voice of Gorilla Grodd, and the first CW appearance of Batman villains the Riddler, Scarecrow, and Penguin, as well as Superman villains Bizarro and Conduit, will be let's see. We hear that the Penguin will indeed be fat again, as for the Riddler, it is said that the CW may be looking for a female to take the role. Solomon Grande is also said to play a part. Even though he was part of the Arrowverse many years ago, it may be the Grundy that we will... It may be the Grundy that we will have seen on Stargirl's by this time. Pending clearances from DC Comics producer hope to bring back Mandu Bennett's Deathstroke as part of the Legion of Doom, and borrowing a villain from another series and network, there are talks with Blake Ritson to reprise his Kryptonite role as the original Brainiac. That would be amazing. I liked that version of Brainiac. That Brainiac was awesome. And then it goes on to saying here, new heroes will be introduced, as well as be meeting the Wonder Twins, Zan and Jaina, who are being eyed for their own potential spin-off series, and their space monkey, Gleek, will appear as well. Nice. That's brilliant. There's a lot more here said. Ooh, that's cool. There's a couple photos here of the Hall of Justice and the Legion of Doom's home base. If you've seen the original Super Friends, then you remember what it looks like. If you've never seen the Super Friends, then I suggest going ahead and signing up for DC Universe and binge watching that, because that's really the only place to watch it right now. Unless you have like DVDs of it or something. And I will go ahead and put this in the link to this story in the show notes as well. And then go on to the next story. All right, next story to talk about here is Godzilla comes to Magic the Gathering. Okay. Okay. Right on. I'm not a Magic the Gathering person, but and I like Godzilla, but I'm not a I wouldn't call myself a fan of it. But let's see what this has to say here. This comes from comicbook.com. Godzilla, the King of Monsters, comes to Magic the Gathering in a collectible card game's newest expansion set. This is Ikoria, Lair of the Behemoth, Wizards of the Coast, in collaboration with Toho, today announced that monsters from the Godzilla franchise are coming to Magic the Gathering. The Godzilla series monster cards are a special feature in Ikoria, Lair of Behemoths, and will be available in the Magic the Gathering Arena digital iteration of the game. Each Godzilla Monster Series card features a monster from the Godzilla franchise pantheon as a magic card from Ikoria, Lair of Behemoths. There will be a total of 16 Godzilla Series monster cards available in English and 3 more available exclusively in Japanese. It says here, fans can get Godzilla King of the Monsters while supplies last by purchasing a draft booster pack displayed through Wizards Play Network store. Each sealed draft booster pack display will contain a random Godzilla series monster card. Ikoria Lair of the Behemoth collector boosters will also include 2 random Godzilla series monster cards. The Godzilla series monster cards will not appear in draft booster packs. I don't know what any of that means. So hopefully, if you're a Magic the Gathering player, you understand what I'm saying. Because I don't play it. I played it one time to kind of try to understand the attraction to the game. Someone taught me how to play a very kind of basic version of it. It did not appeal to me at all. So I apologize if that offends you. Cause you know, I know a lot of people who love Magic the Gathering. I'm just not one of them. The Godzilla series monster cards will appear in Magic the Gathering Arena as card styles. Players will receive the card styles as a special bonus when purchasing Ikoria Lair of Behemoths bundle of 6 or more booster packs via the Magic the Gathering Arena storefront. This isn't the first time that familiar characters have appeared in Magic the Gathering cards. Wizards of the Coast has previously produced cards representing characters from Hasbro properties, including Transformers and My Little Pony. In those cases, the cards were silver bordered, making them unplayable in sanctioned events. Oh, wow. So you can have the cards, but you can't use them in like competition games. That's crazy. I guess it makes sense. With Ikoria, Godzilla, and other Toho monsters may make appearances in high-level organized play. Ikoria, Lair of the Behemoths is Spring 2020's Magic the Gathering expansion. The set will bring players to a brand new plane in the Magic the Gathering universe. Ikoria is full of incredible monsters and humans that bond with them. The set introduced players to Luca, a proud member of the Copper Coats, the military unit that protects the city of Dranith from Ikoria's savage monsters. Luca's world. Hold on. Damn it. Okay, here we go. I lost it for a second. I went to scroll down and it scrolled too far and I lost where I was reading. Luca's world is forever changed when he forms a mystical connection with a ferocious winged cat. Such bonds are treasonous in Dranith. forcing Luca to flee from the very home he was sworn to protect. Now an outcast monster bonder, Luca must survive the wilds of Vicoria with the help of planeswalker Vivian Reed. Huh. Okay. Vicoria Lair of Behemoth releases April 16th on Magic the Gathering's Arena and Magic the Gathering Online. The sets will see full retail store worldwide on May 15th. That's kind of cool. Like I said, I'm not into the game, so I probably won't ever see it. But if you guys are into it, I hope you check it out. I'm pretty sure you will, because the fans of that series tend to like get everything, right? And here's another story from IncomingSoon.net. DC Universe's Stargirl will feature Green Lantern and a different Flash. Okay, this will be cool. Alright, it says, with the previous released promo teasers, it has already been confirmed that DC Comics' Justice League of Society will indeed become a big part of the DC Universe's upcoming superhero series, Stargirl, which will mark the third time the iconic group have appeared on television. It says, speaking with IGN, creator Geoff Johns teased that the identities of two famous members of the JSA revealed that the Golden Age Green Lantern, Alan Scott, and the Flash, Jay Garrick, who are the two of the team's co-founders, will officially be featured in the Stargirl series. Oh, man. So if Jay Garrick is going to be on Stargirl, I wonder if that's going to be played by John Wesley Shipp, because he plays that character in The Flash. I hope it is, anyway. Let's see. It goes on to saying, quote, Green Lantern and The Flash are spoken of, and they exist in the JSA. There's a picture of them in the first episode, and their plans to in the future for things, but Jay Garrick and Alan Scott, to me, are always the elderly statesmen, Johns said. They are the big heroes of the JSA, and their shadow is very long, and they're great characters. They are part of the original JSA, and their legacies will be felt throughout the show. I don't want to spoil too much about it, but I can leave it at that. All right. That's cool. Does it say who? Says the series also stars Amy Smart, Trey Romano, Angelica Washington, and let's see, Giancarlo Esposito, Joel McHale, Lou Ferrigno Jr., Brian Stapp, Luke Wilson, Pat Dugan. Luke Wilson as Pat Dugan, Henry Thomas, Joy Osmondsaki, and Neil Hopkins. Ooh. And Nelson Lee. These are all people that are going to be in the show. That's cool. I recognize some of these names. Henry Thomas. You know what? Click on that and see what it... That is who I thought it was. Okay. Okay, if you, I recognize the name, but I wanted to make sure, it was who I thought it was. And Henry Thomas, if you're not familiar with his name, you probably would recognize him if you've seen the movie E.T. the Extraterrestrial. He's the one who plays Elliot. And he reprised his role as Elliot in that mini movie that came out last year. I think it was a commercial for Xfinity, but they should really make that into an actual full-length feature film, if you ask me. That's cool. Yeah, Henry Thomas plays Dr. Midnight. Joy Osmonsaki is going to play Tigress. Neil Hopkins is going to be playing Sportsmaster, and Nelson Lee is playing the Dragon King. Okay. There's more to this story, and I'm not reading the whole thing because there's a lot here. But like I said, I put all the links to the stories I talk about in the show notes, which are on the Facebook page. Go to facebook.com/206geek/notes, and you can see the links there for this episode. All right, here's another story that I can talk about, I guess. Thanks to my Feedly list and comicbookmovie.com, we're finding out about here. San Diego Comic-Con is currently still scheduled for July, despite the increased concerns over COVID-19. I don't know, man. The only way I would be willing to go to a convention right now is if I knew 100% that this is over with. There's not any concerns of an outbreak or people getting sick from going to a convention like this. I think a lot of people don't realize how big these conventions are. And I think this year, if the convention does happen, they're not going to have as many people. I think a lot of people that go to these conventions, they're like me who don't always like large crowds of people, but like maybe once or twice a year they can probably manage for a day or two. Or even then, it's kind of like, throughout the day you have to take some time to be away from a lot of people. So let's see what this says here on this website. In a somewhat strange turn of events, the organizer of San Diego Comic-Con chose April Fool's Day to assure fans that July's edition of the iconic show is currently planned to take place as usual. Okay. Believe it or not, this year's San Diego Comic-Con is scheduled to take place in July. This update from the organizers of the event comes our way despite recent warnings from President Donald Trump that the United States should be facing hundreds of thousands of COVID-19 casualties in the coming months. With that in mind, we think you'll agree that it's unlikely for an event which attracts upwards of 100,000 fanboys is going to take place as planned in the midst of a global pandemic. The last few films planned for release in theaters this July are expected to be postponed. Imminently, and it's impossible to imagine movie studios paying big money to head to San Diego to promote releases, which will not be coming out for the foreseeable future. It's certainly nice to think that Comic-Con could happen, of course, but canceling it feels like it's inevitable now. It says here, Major sporting and entertainment events across the globe have been delayed in recent weeks, including the Olympics, Wimbledon, CinemaCon, and the Eurovision Song Contest. All of those bar CinemaCon are arguably more important. That Comic-Con. So why the events organizer seems so determined to push forward with is unclear. It sounds like updates will continue to be released via social media now. If you happen to have your tickets already, now might be a good time to start exploring other options. All right. And then it has a tweet from San Diego Comic-Con stating, "Our amazing Comic-Con and WonderCon fans, we understand how difficult the current climate has been for all of us and appreciate your continued support through these trying times. No one is as hopeful as we are that we will be able to celebrate San Diego Comic-Con together come July 1st and 2nd. Oh, wait. 1st of 2nd. Okay, there's two posts here. That's what that meant. Okay. It says, as we continue to monitor the situation with local authorities, we will post updates on our social channels. Until then, remember, a hero is an ordinary individual who finds strength to preserve and endure in spite of overwhelming obstacles. Christopher Reeve. I don't know. I think it's silly for them to even think about doing the convention this year with everything going on. I think as upsetting as it is for things to be canceled, it's better people be safe than sorry. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't get it. Why? I know that they're probably thinking, you know, we want to give people hope that the convention's still going to happen. Personally, I haven't made any plans to go to any conventions this year, even before all this, because I'm broke. I can't afford it. Would love to go, but no money is no money. So, even if I had spent money on tickets to go to a convention, I think at this point I would want a refund because I'm not going to leave my house during this. Just not going to do it. Man.
Hey, you want to help support the podcast? Of course you do. And the easiest way to do that, there's a couple different ways, actually. One way is you can go to the website, 206geek.com, and click the Rate Us Now button, and then it will give you several choices as to places to where you can rate and review the podcast. One of them, which is Apple Podcast. The other one is podchaser.com. And I believe the third one, if you're on a PC, will show up as Stitcher. Now, if you are on an Apple device or on a PC, that has iTunes, do all three. Give me a rating and a review. The more people that do this, the more people that will be able to see my podcast, and the more the podcast will grow. So if you have to, and I've heard other people say this on their podcast, if you're like visiting friends and family, hey, can I see your phone for a second? And then like subscribe them to my podcast. I don't know. I think that's actually kind of funny. Subscribe your friends to my podcast, especially if you think they'll find it amusing and or entertaining. That would be great. Plus, doing the rating and reviewing helps too. So please, go to TeosisGeek.com, click the Rate Us Now button, and then select one of the places where you can rate and review, and do that, please. It doesn't take much time. Thank you. That's all I can say about that. The other way you can help support the podcast is the host I use, Anchor.fm. It has a function. functionality where people can click the support button on the podcast, and it gives them three choices for supporting the podcast. 99 cents a month, $4.99 a month, and $9.99 a month. And for every person who subscribes to that, will get a shout out from me on the podcast. And if you are one of the people that does the $9.99 a month, I'll also give you an option to be a guest on the podcast. We'll just hang out and chat about whatever in the geek world, or actually whatever you want to talk about, really. I can talk about just about anything. So just to recap, there's a couple of different ways we can support the podcast. One is doing the rate us now on the website, 206geek.com. And then the other way is to go to support.206geek.com. Once you go to that, click the support link and then follow the choices there. That's great. That's all you need to do to support the podcast.
And then I posted this yesterday, or shared this rather. Nickelodeon had posted this. On this day in 1979, Nickelodeon was launched. I don't know about you guys, but I wasn't aware of Nickelodeon until probably like 1982, maybe 81. In fact, the other day I was on a Nickelodeon nostalgia trip where I was just trying to find video clips of shows I used to watch on Nickelodeon when I was a kid. One of those was The Mysterious Cities of Gold, which I found out they made a reboot of sorts, but I think it's a continuation of the original series from 1982, back in 2012, and then they did a season 2 in 2012, and then in 2016 they did a season 3. And I found clips of those. Of course, they were in the original language, which I think was French. But then I did a little bit more digging, and I found an English dub of those clips, I think for Canada or England. Either way, there was English in the clips that I saw, which was really cool because I loved that series when I was a kid. Oh man, in fact, it's one of those that I'm going to see if I can find and buy the original series if I can, and then the newer ones if they're available on DVD in the English dub. But the other show that I loved watching on the Nickelodeon of the 80s was You Can't Do That on Television. And, oh man, I went down the rabbit hole on YouTube on that for a while. And that's where like the slime comes from for Nickelodeon, and just it was funny because it was like a variety show, kind of like All That Is today. I think that's probably the closest thing we have to a modern version of You Can't. But it was a local Canadian show. Up in Toronto, but then it was brought down to the States through Nickelodeon. And if you go onto YouTube and search for You Can't Do That on Television, you'll find clips, video clips of like interviews of the cast members at like comic book conventions up in Canada in the last couple of years. And some of the people, I didn't know who they were. And I was like, who is that guy? Must be a cast member because they're up on this panel. But I don't recognize them. So I had to look up their names and find out when they were on the show. Because I think there was a couple of years of the show that I didn't watch. Because the only time I watched Nickelodeon was when I went to visit my dad in Port Angeles, Washington. The cable company over there had Nickelodeon, but the cable company in Seattle did not have Nickelodeon. And by the time I did have Nickelodeon in Seattle, the show was no longer on the air. And, Yeah. But they posted a, on this day in 1979, Nickelodeon was launched. And there's a video here. I wonder if... I'm recording on my phone, so this may sound like shit, and I apologize. I'm going to play this video.
On your mark. Get set. Go!
Nickelodeon, the first and only network for kids.
On the rich they can love while they're number one Nickelodeon. Nickelodeon.
A lot of the clips you're showing in this are from the '90s. Repeating the same thing over and over again. All right. I don't know that. Like I said, I went on a nostalgia rabbit hole on YouTube the other day with with Nickelodeon, and there was a few other shows that I liked watching on there as a kid. I'm trying to think of their names. Salute Your Shorts and Hey Dude were a couple shows that were on there. Actually, I saw a video the other day on YouTube where it was one of those filming location videos where people go to like filming locations for TV shows and movies to show what they look like today versus when they had the show being filmed there. And apparently the set for Hey Dude is still in Arizona. I guess I thought it was an actual, like, ranch, but it was just a set that they built that they left there, and it's still mostly standing. But, video that I was just playing for you was posted on April 1st on the Facebook page. You can check out the video yourself. What else we got here? Lots of... Here's something. From CheatSheet.com, could most of Disney's biggest 2020 movies debut on streaming? Well, probably. They've already released a couple of movies on streaming because of all this. It says, because of the coronavirus pandemic, the immediate future of Hollywood is changing by the minute. Studios are continuing to push, pushing 2020's biggest movies until the tail end of the year or early 2021 or some undetermined time thereafter. But considering the studio's commercial dominance these days, all eyes are on Disney on what Disney's going to do. Let's see. Although this year doesn't bring anything as hotly anticipated as Avengers Endgame or Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker, the studio does have several top-dollar productions on the 2020 schedule. The first of which was Pixar's Onward. Briefly hit theaters on March 6th, only to be released digitally 2 weeks later. The film even set to arrive on Disney Plus on April 3rd, which is tomorrow. If you haven't seen this movie, I recommend it. I saw it on opening day at a local theater, which was like, yeah. So it was like early March they saw it. So it comes out tomorrow. It says, Disney reacted swiftly to, in the cases of Onward and Frozen 2, which also hit Disney Plus months earlier than planned. Now many fans and industry insiders are wondering just how many of the studio's big 2020 releases will wind up foregoing a theatrical run altogether. Well, I don't know. I think Black Widow and Mulan might just go straight to digital. You know, they're on digital. A lot of the movies I mentioned, like, well, let's take a look real quick. I can tell you what's on video right now, because I have my, see here, scroll down to, well, they were showing up on my Fire TV. Alright. Well, my Fire TV was showing like early access. Let me scroll down and see if early access is still a thing here. And it showed all these, here we go. Prime Video Cinema is what it's called. It says early access. We have Pixar's Onward. We have Sonic the Hedgehog, which I also saw, which was really funny. I recommend it if you haven't seen it. And Harley Quinn's Birds of Prey. We got I Still Believe, Call of the Wild, Vin Diesel in Bloodshot, The Invisible Man, Emma, The Hunt, and The Way Back. These are all movies that are showing up on this Prime Video Cinema. I would imagine other streaming devices if you have like Apple iTunes or whatever they call it now, I'm sure they're going to have these early access as well, and Google Play Video I'm sure will have these as well, but on my Fire TV we just have, it just has early access to all these, and I think basically means you can buy the movies outright for $20. Each one of them looks like it's $20 for these. And you know what? If you are planning on seeing it, you're gonna probably end up spending about between $10 and $15 to see it anyways. Might as well go ahead and spend the extra $5 to $6 to buy the thing. And you can watch it as many times as you want. yeah, I don't know. I think that's, those are all on the, Prime Video Cinema is what it's called. And it just says early access in all of these movies. These are all movies that were just in theaters, like not even a couple weeks ago. Let's see. Yeah. All right. I think, let's see what else we got. I think that's pretty much it for most of the things I wanted to talk about today, but let's see if there's anything else. Let's go back to Feedly and see if there's anything in there that's, okay. Let's see. that's pretty much it. Oh, wait. No. Never mind. I haven't seen it yet, but apparently there's a trailer for the new season of Rick and Morty, and I'm pretty sure it's probably going to be pretty awesome and epic. I probably should go find it and watch it. I think that's good for today. Thanks again for listening to the podcast, and hope you guys are staying home and staying safe. Do not go out and about unless you absolutely have to. Stay home, stay safe. You don't need to leave the house unless you need food or something. So, there should be no reason to leave the house. You can entertain yourself with the internet. There's Amazon Prime Video. There's Netflix. There's Hulu. There's Disney Plus. There's DC Universe. There's plenty to watch. If you're lucky enough to work from home, good on you. If you're not one of the lucky few, hopefully you're able to stay safe even at work. If you're a first responder or a nurse or a doctor or a medical professional in general, thank you. Thank you very much. Actually, I have medical professionals in my family, and I see them talking about this stuff all the time the last few days, and I worry about them. So, I worry about you guys too if you're a medical professional, and I thank you very much for whatever it is you do in your medical profession, because without people like you, people like me and others around the world would most definitely die from this thing. And I don't know, it just now really hit me how important you people are. So thank you. Thank you very much. And I think I'm probably going to do more impromptu recordings like this just because I need something to occupy myself. Cause I'm finding that the things that I normally do are starting to bore me, and I think maybe doing more episodes of the podcast might be the way around that. So, I don't know if I'll be doing many of these straight on my phone like this, but I just felt the need to record, and I didn't want to like dig out my iPad and my microphone and everything else. I just wanted to start recording, and that's what I did. And, you guys have a fantastic day, and, like I said, stay safe, stay home, and, I'll talk to you guys next time. Bye.